is Triple M's Rush Hour. The Bledisloe Cup is back. Wallabies versus All Blacks, September 15 at Marvel Stadium. Tickets from Ticketmaster.
James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
Email already in. It's taken that long.
What happened?
Jim, the King of Kings.
Yeah, I knew that it would
Fat
be.
Is the quiz stinker.
No,
what he says?
No,
it's called South Australia, you clown.
I said that.
Go Bombers, a quint from Thomastown. Well, let's have a listen.
Have a listen, Jay-Z. Lego is turning 90. How do South Australians pronounce Lego?
I've got a lisp.
All of a sudden, I've got a lisp.
What happens? Jay-Z Clark joins us, of course.
If it's happening in footy...
Jeepers, have the headlines been coming thick and fast?
This man will be all over it.
Let's get Jay-Z in.
All right.
And talk footy.
On Triple M's Rush Hour...
He's going to try and get back out there.
It's Jay-Z Clark.
Jay-Z, nice to see you always middle of the week.
Great to be here, Jim. Now,
Hello, Jay.
Well, hello, Bill. Now, what grade of our primary school education do you sort of nail down the states? I reckon it's early.
Early.
It's sort of grade one, grade two.
Should be.
Still troubling you, Bill.
Hey? You having a go at me?
Yeah.
You are having a go at me.
Yes.
Can we just play what we played on the Saturday rub, please? Jay-Z on the boundary.
And let's get downstairs to Jay-Z for Bob Jane T. Marks.
BT Port's Darcy Byrne-Jones rolled his ankle on the outer side a couple of minutes ago. He's gone downstairs for treatment. Copped a couple of Panadol or taken some. Hopefully just a restrapping.
Just having a little trouble getting his words together down there.
Do you want to take that back?
The little radio machine that I carry was so disgusted in my cross that it just said no. And it just cut me off.
Did you turn yourself off?
Well, the machine said that's the worst you've ever done. But I've been writing this book, Bill, on footy's tongue twisters. And that's the new edition.
What's wrong with? I like when Jay-Z comes in.
Taken a couple of Panadol, popped a couple of Panadol. That's the latest entry.
Right.
As you can see, I'm still having trouble with it, Razzy.
Got to get back out there.
Well, you say it quickly. Popped a couple of Panadol.
Popped a couple of Panadol.
Oh! It's not that easy.
Oh, say oh South Australians. God.
South Australians.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway.
Creepers, creepers.
We could come up with a good book together.
All right, we should have a podcast.
Get your own show. Because when you bugger up, someone else buggers up, but you do it in unison, you actually get proper words out.
And then you turn it off.
Jay-Z, the camp for the Adelaide Crows. See this off the top.
Wow.
It is the gift that keeps giving for that place.
Yes.
Just when they think they've heard the last of it, another version of it smacks them in the face.
Yeah, it's been a harrowing 24 hours, hasn't it? I mean, it's almost been a hark back to the Essendon supplement scandal. I find this like just as devastating, as disappointing as anything we've seen in footy over the last 5 or 10 years, to be honest. But do you know what? Adelaide's apologised, right? They've said there's been failings.
Yep.
And they've come out and they said sorry. And everyone bar Mark Rashido has lost their job over this, I feel, right?
And other board member.
Yes, right? But this goes up the chain. So the AFL, Jim, and their integrity unit, the AFL integrity unit, has somehow ticked this off. The AFLPA has ticked this off.
WorkSafe
SA has ticked this off. Now, they are kidding themselves, right? Now, Eddie Betts says he gave the AFL, the AFLPA, WorkSafe SA, the same information as in that book. Now, how can you, as any self-respecting body, have that information and that evidence and go all clear?
Yeah.
That is
so
fine.
What should have happened?
Something back then.
I mean, the club dealt with it and they apologised. And as you say, most of the people involved lost their jobs. So I'm not sure what more they could have done.
Well, the AFL...
I mean, they might have done it quicker. It did take some time to get to that point.
They did pretend for a while that there was nothing to see here.
No, right? But they eventually got to the point where they apologised and dealt with it with a personnel situation within the club. So what those other bodies, what should they have done?
Well, I think they should have put the accountability on the club much earlier, made a much bigger issue of it, kept them accountable for the satisfaction of the players and their partners and their families who were hurt as part of the process. So when Eddie Betts comes out, and he's brought us as much joy and entertainment as any footballer for the past 10 years, you've called him sensationally for such a long time, Jim. When he says that I'm going to carry this hurt and this shame for the rest of my life, and that this took the joy and energy out of football for me, like, that is a serious burden on someone who has given us so much over the journey. So, and if it's taken him 4 years to get this off his chest and feel like he's being heard, how in the hell didn't the AFL and the AFLPA sit down with him and every other player and get the full account? Because when we hear, Bill, that the club says to the players, like Taylor Walker and Rory Sloane, who we have great respect for, when they say, you've got to answer the questions these ways, like that's essentially brainwashing those players. So
they're all going to follow the captain and text then, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. So like this is how you've got to talk to your wife or your mum and dad about what's happened here.
So the club said that to those two gentlemen.
Well, the camp.
Yeah.
But so what are the allegations in the book? Yeah, that's the allegations in the book. What credence do you give that Tex and Rory Sloane both independently said that they didn't have any problem with what happened?
They were reading from a script, Jim. They were reading from a script. And that's what's detailed in this book. In chapter 17 in Eddie Betts' book, he says that he watched the camp guys tell the players what they are to say. And then we've gone back over Taylor Walker's and Rory Sloane's quotes. And guess what? They are word for word as what they were told to say. Now, I think as a code and as a football body, we've got to be a lot better than that.
Right? Who gives these camp guys, as you said, I can't believe the power they have to take over a footy club.
Yep.
And I don't know if they were briefed.
Had. Yeah. Eh? The power they had.
Yep. They had.
Yep.
To take over a footy club. Yep. I don't know if they got briefed or by the club and saying, you know, these guys or this bloke and whatever. Mm. But they can't do surely some of this stuff.
Exactly.
Who gives them the power to just do whatever they want and embarrass, you know, people like that?
So over the off season, after they lost the grand final to Richmond, the Chiefs, so that's Don Pike and that's Brett Burton, the footy manager. They say we need to be tougher, right? We need to stand up to the big moments. We need to have more resilience and be stronger of mind. Yeah. So then they outsource to the leadership specialist or the mind training specialist, and from there they come up with this program because they're essentially the experts. In this sort of stuff. But Jim or Bill, it's 40-year-old men. If you were watching any of this stuff, as Josh Jenkins said at the time, as Eddie Betts said at the time, you'd say, "This has got to be stopped." Surely you are kidding yourselves. Like, how is hurling abuse? So Eddie Betts speaks to a counsellor and reveals to that counsellor his deepest fears and most,
his upbringing.
Yes, his most traumatic experiences. Yeah. And then imagine having everyone hurl abuse at you. And then someone jumps on your back and then brings up stuff about your mum and says, you're not going to be a good father because only your mum was around.
Yeah.
Like, does it get any worse than that?
With everyone else there.
With everyone else there. Yeah. No, yeah. So if at that point, whoever is running the show doesn't
That's what I'm saying, mate. Like,
yeah. Like, just... that, it's as bad as it gets. Yeah. I think Eddie Betts is going to be on Fox Footy tonight.
Yes.
And, you know, they'll ask him.
And this is only the first book that's come out, really, from that group, isn't it?
Bryce Gibbs was there at the time. Daniel Talley was there.
No, but I'm saying if there's any more books coming out, it'd be interesting. Yeah.
Well, that was the finishing question because we do have to get to the break.
Yep.
Will it just continue to come up forever or will there be a line drawn in the sand where we go, all right, there's been an apology made. I'm not sure what else. Things should have been done better, but they weren't, but we can't fix that now. Yep. We just got to push on.
Maybe the players need the recognition and the acknowledgement, right? So with the Adam Goods thing, the AFL sort of try to ignore it, and then they eventually say, all right, we got this wrong. Mm. Maybe that needs to happen here, again, in the sort of Adelaide camp situation.
More with Jay-Z after this.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I want to see a crocodile eat a giraffe.
Now, one of the AFL's best journos is in the house, Jay-Z Clark.
Newsbreaker extraordinaire, and he comes into his own this time of year because trade. Isaac Rankin.
Yes.
800.
Yes. So I think he's marching his way back home to Adelaide in South Australia.
To Adelaide.
Jim, so pick 3 at Gold Coast. He's just starting to find some form. We know he's got real party tricks like you, Bill, in the forward half.
Nothing
developing
like Bill.
More consistency. He's probably been a bit of a slow burn, and this was why it'll be so disappointing for the Gold Coast, right? Because they've worked with him through
spent money and time,
some inconsistencies. But then, so when Adelaide try and jag a player back, because a lot of the GWS boys haven't gone back to South Australia, really. So this is where Adelaide try and get to Gold Coast Isaac Rankin. It's 800. That is an offer I don't think you can knock back. And when you think about the Crows and what they've been sort of lacking or what they need, like the midfield's pretty good. You know, they're developing in the back line still. Where they say they have fallen down is the connection, the polish in the forward half. Josh Rochelli's coming through, and you pair him with Isaac Rankin, who's been kicking goals from anywhere, Bill, from the forward pocket, from the boundary line, etc. He is a real talent. So the latest mail on this is that, it could be happening towards the end of the season. Gold Coast don't feel very confident at all. So $800,000 a year.
What do they have to give up? Yeah.
Pick four, I think Adelaide's got. So you think pick three four goes back four. To Gold Coast. Maybe a little sweetener because they've put some time into him. But I think Isaac Rankin is on the move in this year's trade period.
Hey, what about the Giants? It'll be very interesting to see what happens at selection table one with the checked out boys. So what he does there. But also, it seems to be a couple of boys on the move there.
Yes. So I think Geelong is right into Jacob Hopper.
Nice.
And I think this is a big chance of happening because we know the Cats have got a bit of cash there.
They have.
I mean, yes, they've brought in Jeremy Cameron to the club, but they know that they need to thicken the soup in the midfield a bit. Mm-hmm. So Jacob Hopper, who's as tough as they come.
Yep.
Hasn't probably been in great form this year for the Giants, but he comes straight into there. Tim Taranto, we know Collingwood and Richmond in particular are looking at him. Matty Bruin, who's a Geelong Falcons product.
Yes, he is.
In fact, and his dad played for...
Matty played Grovedale.
For Grovedale. Tanner Bruin, sorry.
Matty's old man.
His old man, yeah. So Tanner Bruin, expecting him to leave. And then Bobby Hill, who Essendon tried to get last year, expect him to lob at Collingwood.
Is anyone going to the... Gold Coast, are they going? To the Giants? Anyone actually going? They're losing a lot of players.
What's the salary dump again?
Jeez.
So Brody Grundy's, I think, the big watch who could go the other way. But if you're Brody Grundy, aren't you sitting, but you're not being told where to go. And I don't reckon Brody Grundy wants to be told where to go. I don't think he's necessarily going, well, I have to go back to Port Adelaide or I have to go back to GWS. I reckon he's looking at the suite of Victorian clubs and saying, well, if I'm being punted from Collingwood, I'm going to pick the spot where I want to go. I want to go where there's a premiership window. So does Geelong need a ruckman?
Ruce Stanley's been good this year, but they'd look at it.
Potentially. I reckon they'd want to have a chat with him. Melbourne lose Luke
Jackson.
They've
got a young kid coming through.
Conway,
so, yeah.
I reckon in this deal, Brody Grundy would want to have some of that power back to be choosing his club as opposed to being shoehorned up to GWS, which I don't necessarily, I'm not certain he wants to do yet.
Collingwood have to play a fair part of that 700, I would imagine, wherever he goes, if he leaves. Carl Amon.
Yeah, I think he's. I think you can lock this away. In fact, some of these big dominoes, I reckon you can almost start to lock him in at their clubs. So Carl Amon, Hawthorn, to help revive some of that engine room, give him a bit of speed, youth on the outside. So that's probably an end of first round compensation pick or early second round going back to Port Adelaide. So he's a tick for Hawthorn.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They get him basically for free. The other one we've been talking about for a while is Daniel McStay at Collingwood. So he's been up there at Brisbane toiling away. I think he comes in, adds a hard-working sort of marking target. But can I ask you this?
He already got one there with Mychek. There's two hard-working forwards.
True. Who would you prefer out of Jack Gunston? This is a pick one I like to pose of Joey sometimes.
Yeah.
If you had Daniel McStay or Jack Gunston, who would you rather in your forward half?
Jack Gunston.
It depends what else you got. Because Gunston, I love him, by the way, but he's not standing under the footy and long down the line, you know, not outmarked target. He's going to get on his bike and zoom around, and he's a beautiful footballer. I love him.
Kick five goals against your mob, Jim.
Of course. But McStay, it depends what you need. McStay is one of those blokes that you're going to dump long down the line you know, get a big contest out of him and hopefully not be outmarked. And that's really important, especially the way the Pies are now starting to play. They want to get it in quick and sit it on his head. So.
Can play defence, played a bit of backline under Justin Lepich, who is now at Collingwood. So he knows his full capabilities as well. But I think in terms of this trade period, some of these ones you can already lock away. I think Hopper could end up at Geelong. I think McStay at Collingwood. I think Amon goes to Hawthorn. And there's a bit of, you know, talk about some of those other GWS players. Does Lockie Whitfield go? Does someone have a crack at Nick Haynes? I think he's on 850 next year, so... It's a salary dump for the Giants.
And Josh Battle has extended his stay at Moorabbin.
Yes, another 2 years for him.
He's only 23 and only signed 2 years.
Been a handy player for the Saints.
Maybe a free agent maybe at the end of that. You know what? Loyalty costs you in this game. So you talk about Isaac Rankin coming up to his 47th game or something like that. You talk about Luke Jackson about the same, 48 games he might have played. They're going to both earn nearly $1 million a year.
Big money.
Because they're moving.
Yeah.
Shane Edwards,
yeah,
just played his 300th game, has been as good a player, pound for pound,
yep,
over 300 games, would never have earned half of that.
100%.
And he's stayed and been loyal to the Richmond Footy Club, and it's cost him plenty.
And that is why Hawthorn has been so successful. Sydney, Geelong has been so successful, because a lot of these people have accepted unders over,
yeah,
the journey.
Yeah. That's, you want to go home, that's where the big lol is. Fat?
Well, a lot of WA boys like to go home too, so that's interesting. Scott, sure. Pendlebury, All Australian?
He's moved back into the midfield. And I think he just misses the All Australian team.
That's the first time we've heard that from
Exactly. Did he bounce a ball off a pigeon's head, though?
Which he did.
It's never been done before or since. Good to see you, mate.
Thanks, Jim.
Triple M's Rush Hour. Experience one of the oldest rivalries in world rugby, Wallabies versus All Blacks. The Bledisloe Cup is back in Melbourne for the first time since 2010, September 15 at Marvel Stadium. Tickets from Ticketmaster. Don't miss out.